National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. And joining me today is Owen DeVries, the co-founder of TipTalk, which is an app. What does the app do?
It's an app where we allow users and influencers to connect. It's a platform to allow influencers to monetize their social and their time by creating a one-on-one intimate conversation between the influencer and the user.
Sounds like a really interesting app. I want to learn more about that. But we're talking about how to overcome the naysayers here. So obviously, you've heard no before. So how do you overcome the naysayers when somebody who doesn't believe in you?
I assume that a lot of people don't believe in me, but I also think
there's going to be a lot more people that typically don't believe in you.
Yeah, there's a lot more naysayers. There's a lot more naysayers, a lot more haters than necessarily lovers, right?
Yeah.
And I think as a CEO, you're not there to always be loved, and I think that expectation is something you need to work yourself into. So I think it's when you hear no. I think the focus needs to be on how can you convince them to become a yes and a believer of what you're trying to do. And so that comes in the convincing part and sharing your passion and convincing it no into a yes.
One of my favorite sayings, because I come from a huge background in sales and neurolinguistic programming, is the sale doesn't even begin until you've gotten no at least 10 times or more.
I think a no is always, sometimes no is encouraging because it's
a
like,
no
okay,
is encouraging.
It's
a stair step to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes when it's a no, I'm like, okay, this is a challenge. And it almost motivates
challenge
you.
Challenge accepted, right?
Yeah, challenge accepted. And now I'm motivated more so to convince you that you're wrong. And I think that's with investors, when you pitch something, you know, every time you hear that no and you leave, you're like, no, this is what I believe in. I'm going to keep on selling this and fine-tune your pitch to, you know, make a no become a yes.
Jack Canfield, the author of the incredible series of books, Chicken Soup for the Soul, told me when I went to one of his book conferences, he said, when somebody says no, because it's inevitable, especially if you're pitching your book to a publisher, which he did and heard hundreds of no's. When somebody tells you no, all you do is say one word. Next.
Next, yeah. Keep going.
Keep going,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you hear no, you just got to keep going. One of my other favorite ones when it comes to no is, first of all, there's never too late to start. And no doesn't mean anything as long as you're going to keep going, because you just need one yes. And so this story is from the guy who started KFC, the Colonel. And I don't remember exactly how many times it was, but it was like exactly 1,000 no's. He went from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant and had everybody tell him no to taking his recipe and using it. But he finally got the one yes, and from there it blew up and created the chain that we now know as KFC.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned, because I just recently read an article from the Alibaba founder who got rejected a couple times at Harvard, got rejected by the first Burger King, and then look where he is now, right? So
yeah.
I think rejection, you need to really take that more as the feedback necessary is, okay, I'm not supposed to do this, or I'm doing this wrong. I think it's, you know, taking that and figuring out, okay, how am I going to pursue that yes? And as long as you continue to try and pursue that yes will come, and that time will come.
And I think something that I love too is, for people, you got to realize it's not about getting a no if it's from a person who you don't even want to hear yes from. So for me, I always try to remind myself, the only people that I care if they say no to me or if they're a hater or a naysayer is if it's somebody that I want to be getting a yes from. And so from there, remind yourself, you don't need everyone in the world to love you. If you do, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yep.
And it's important to remember, just like in marketing or sales, you got to have a niche. You got to have a target custom audience that you're specifically going after. And it's the same thing in life, relationships, and business. The only people that you want to have be your lovers and giving you the yes should be a specific segment in the marketplace. You should be getting no's from lots of other people because your product, service, who you are, whatever, shouldn't be the right fit for everybody. And if it is, you're probably not going to be successful. So you should not worry about the naysayers and the haters and people giving you no if they're from the industry or the segmentation or the audience that you don't even care if you get a yes from. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. And every time I pitch a new company idea and my friends say, oh, that is stupid or who would do that, it's more of a motivator for me because yeah. I know my friends and I know the way they think. And if they say no, then I know I've got something. And I think that counts for some more people. I've heard that more from other entrepreneurs. If they got a no from their wife, it's pretty much done. It's good.
Yeah.
Right? So I definitely take that into consideration. I think hearing the no's from investors or notable mentors can be sometimes a little bit discouraging because they tend to kind of know what they're talking about.
But then I always like to use it as a learning tool and I'll say, may I ask what would have to happen or be said for me to get a yes? So if anything, I love getting a no from somebody who's successful, more intelligent, has more experience, has a better background, has done more, has more wisdom and experience. Because from there, I go, oh, yes, I got a no. Here's a chance for me to learn. If they say yes, great job, I didn't learn anything. I just know that I did a good job. So I almost would rather get, you know, like what is the word? Criticism, great feedback.
Yeah.
I'd rather get a no from them because they're going to say something back to you that's going to allow you to improve.
So I have one thing to that, though, right? It's like some investors are very reputable. They have had amazing success.
But they've said no to WhatsApp and Uber and all these other
exactly.
things.
Exactly. It still doesn't warrant that their no
is an
accurate thing. Yeah. And also, don't go to 10 of these mentors and then all chime in your business model. And before you know, your business model is upside down and you don't even know your own business model.
It's like if you've ever watched Shark Tank, right? You look at it and if you only heard one of the people's advice, you might think, well, that's a Mark Cuban. Obviously, it's right. But then you hear all the other people's advice, and you oftentimes see the sharks disagreeing with each other consistently. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Even very wealthy people all have their own opinions and ways about how it should go.
And most of the successful people have had their own failures. And I believe there's time and luck, which is very a big component to success.
Time and luck plays a lot into it, yeah.
And so even though they've become billionaires, and it doesn't take away that they're geniuses, it doesn't necessarily mean that it could be repeat it over and over and that same formula is going to work for any other business model. So I think that take it feedback, know that they know what they're talking about, but try to stay true to your, you know, what you truly believe. And if you stay to that, I think that's what really allows you to be successful no matter what.
I agree. Some people are going to go left. Some people are going to go right. They may end up in the same place, but one mentor is going to say we should do it this way. Another guy is going to say it that way. Yeah. That's why I love watching Shark Tank because you get the different perspectives. And it really is a great show to watch. Just a lot of stuff on TV is crap and garbage. So it's like if you get to watch Shark Tank, it's a great learning perspective for entrepreneurs.
I agree. And, you know, some investors They tend to give you information by just trying to improve you, and some are trying to give you information by almost trying to break it down and kind of break you down as an individual. And I prefer to go to mentors that will never really say it's a bad idea, but will say, I like it, but I suggest you do the following, or I suggest you take note of the following. And that keeps you motivating. You walk out of that meeting like, okay, you know, he didn't say he loved it, but he didn't say he hated it, but he gave me some good feedback. Let me go back to that drawing board and you know, work on that business model.
Nothing like when somebody gives you a soft blow, right?
Yes, but sometimes realistic feedback is also important.
Very true. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me is Owen DeVries, the co-founder of TikTok, an app which does what?
TikTok app is a mobile platform that connects influencers, users to have a one-on-one intimate connection where they can where influencers can share their social knowledge to their audience.
21 is when you first became an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about that. How did that process happen for you?
So it's a funny process because I dropped school 3 times. Come from a hospitality.
Did you graduate university college?
No.
No?
No, I did not. And I came from a hospitality family. I was going to go to hospitality university, follow my parents' footsteps, and I said, not doing that. Then I went to America, joined this university called Art Academy, which is out of San Francisco, did something completely different, retail strategy. Then I realized this wasn't for me either. Then I moved to LA, tried a similar school, and then I called my dad up. I said, Dad, I'm kind kind of, you know, I want to quit. And you have to understand, in Holland, you don't pay for education necessarily. So it was a lot of money here. It's an investment in me. So he told me, hey, meet the investor. I want you to meet a good friend of mine who happens to eventually be my investor, my original investor. And he wanted him to tell me, you have to go to school. And he pretty much picked up the phone and said, listen, this kid is not going to school. And better said, I actually want to fund him on his, you know, first
So that's what happened? You got
that's
funded?
What happened. Yeah, I got funded out of that.
So a businessman funded you for being an entrepreneur?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. And never heard that.
It was a big risk on his end. And I'll be honest, the first 150K went out of the door. But I think it was my passion and my instinct and my guts to continue what I wanted to do that kept him willing to continue to fund me, which ultimately, you know.
What did he fund? He funded you, but did he fund an idea of yours?
He funded an idea of mine, but it was.
What was it?
I'm going to make shoes. No clue how to make shoes.
So you were going to be a cobbler.
Well, I went to Mexico and started my own factory. No joke.
Wow.
Yeah. So I hired a staff. I got a house because over there you don't get commercial real estate. You just get a house and then you just put machines in there and then you start manufacturing. So that was one of my biggest success, though, because even though that business did not succeed, what it did taught me is I had no clue how to make shoes. I had no clue how to run a factory. I had no clue how to deal with staff. I had no clue how to deal with finances. Yet I was able to put a business together and make shoes from every component. I was cutting the leather myself, paying people out of my pocket. Like, I've learned every aspect of that business, and that has set the fundamentals of my current success and future success.
Appreciate you for coming on our show, brother.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
What I'm going to tell you in the next 60 seconds could change your life. A college degree is more than a piece of paper or entry on your resume. A degree is an all-access pass to your future and a daily reminder of what you can accomplish. If you're thinking about going back to school but can't disrupt your life, consider Arizona State University. ASU Online offers the same high-quality education, world-renowned faculty, dedicated student support, and exceptional learning resources, all 100% online. You'll earn the same respected ASU degree as on-campus students and access a global network of over 400,000 alumni. Learn why ASU is ranked top 5 nationally for producing the best qualified graduates. Text DISCOVER to 37913. ASU Online offers over 150 degrees online, from education to healthcare, engineering, and more. Learn more about ASU Online. Text DISCOVER to 37913. That's DISCOVER to 37913.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Mark Black, this is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is George Richter. He's the CEO and founder of OceanX. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about your company. I'm super excited about it for you. Okay. You're in the subscription business.
Subscription business. My company is called OceanX, and we focus on what I call the new membership economy, which is subscriptions and memberships for physical products. Some people call that box business.
So like Dollar Shave Club, Birchbox, things like that?
Correct. Businesses like that. And there's established companies, too. For example, Company Proactive. I was president before that. It's one of my clients right now.
The, like, face company for acne?
Yes, face company, right?
Okay. For acne. So what I think is really impressive about you, and we talked a little bit before the cameras rolled on, is you've been used to being an employee, and only in 6 months of building your own business, how much business are you already operating for?
We have already more than $1 billion in business.
How is that even possible in 6 months?
There's a little cheating involved because we had a running start.
Yeah.
But, you know, having a new company means also I have to go out and find new clients, right?
Okay.
Which is scary.
Yes.
But it's a lot of fun.
Well, what's that been like for you? Because I think a lot of people ultimately struggle in their first year, or in your case, 6 months, because they've gone from the mentality of being an employee and now being an entrepreneur. You're the one that has to wear the hats. Maybe you're doing things you didn't have to do before. How the heck have you been so successful in such a short period of time?
Okay, first of all, it starts with a good attitude, right? So I had that attitude and said, I can't do this.
Right when I met you,
I
knew you were
a positive guy. I don't know. I was in the beginning. Yeah. You fake yourself into it, right?
Yeah.
So, but then it really happened, right? You know, I get acceptance. People are really interested in what I have to say. I have amazing clients lined up. So it's amazing, amazing, right? A lot of fun, actually. Much better than I thought.
So what was the trigger, what was the spark that caused you to say, being an employee, that's not for me anymore, or maybe you've been building up to being an entrepreneur? I don't know, you tell me.
There was an opportunity, there's a market opportunity. In my heart, I've always been an entrepreneur. My father was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And then the opportunity came up, and so let's do it. And you know, now I find myself in that situation.
I love that. Well, you said Proactive was one of the businesses you worked for before.
Yes, correct.
Take me back to the beginning and kind of catch me up. You just said that you've always had sort of the entrepreneurial spirit. Take me from, like, wherever you want to start, a kid, college, your first job, and kind of catch us up to where you're at so we can kind of see how you kind of got to where you are today.
Okay. Father entrepreneur. I actually had an ice cream stand a long time ago. You know, just I always liked the entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somehow I got a corporate job. I worked for a large company, a German company, and, you know, life goes on. All of a sudden you get promoted and, you know, you get into this. And it was actually a very entrepreneurial company. And I've been lucky, actually. So within organizations, you can actually find entrepreneurial jobs. That's why I had 22 jobs so far.
22 jobs.
Yes.
Which one was the least favorite or worst job you ever
going
had?
Going door to door selling book club memberships.
That
was
brutal.
Really scary. Going out in the morning and knocking doors. That was really hard, but you learned something.
So what do you think was one of the biggest things that you learned from that? I mean, I think most people's deepest fears in life, why they don't go after the life they want, why they don't earn the income they want, why they don't have the impact they want, is ultimately because of fear of rejection, fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously dealt with that doing door to door. What do you think was the biggest lesson?
Actually, working harder than the others. Okay, I was probably the worst salesperson there when I started.
Yeah.
And I said, how do I do this? So I started a little earlier, worked all the time, and I've learned it's a numbers game. Everything in sales is a numbers game. You knock more doors, you get average production, no matter what you do, even if you're really bad.
So how did you keep going, though? Because most people, I think I want to stay on this topic for a second, because most people are not where they want to be in life simply because of their fear of rejection, simply because of their fear of failure.
Okay.
What happens if I do the door knocking and I hear no? What if I do 100 doors and I hear no? How did you reframe that every time someone slammed the door in your face or said no, how did that keep you going versus stop you?
I think it's an attitude again. You know, I'm ready even today because I go out selling all the time.
Yeah, you've got a lot of
energy. I'm ready for failure. I'm ready for the people say, no, it's not for me. And I don't take it personally because I got to find the next person. It's circumstances in life. It's really attitude about this. You got to overcome it. Whenever you start something, things will go wrong. I think it's the worst thing if you can, oh, this will be easy. It's never easy.
How did you develop the mindset, though? I think that's maybe more important because you're saying it's the positive mindset that leads to, you know, the reframing what rejection or no means or failure. I 100% agree with that. But not everybody has conditioned the mindset that you have. How did you do it?
I really believe if you interview entrepreneurs here, most of them have that mindset.
They do, and I'm curious.
If you're really an entrepreneur, you know, and you're afraid that it doesn't work. I mean, think about startups. Most startups fail. People will say, oh, why do you do this? You can easily fail. So if you start with that attitude that, you know, you're afraid of that, you shouldn't do it.
Okay.
That's scary. You want to wake up and have fun.
Yeah, and I think that's at the end of the day why we get into entrepreneurship is to make a difference and to ultimately...
I can't stop thinking about my company.
I deal with the same thing. CEO and founder of OceanX, George Richter, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. What do you feel like was one thing that your entrepreneurial father taught you that you still apply and think about today?
Work hours. You know, it's scary this that I do with my father does.
Yeah.
I get up very early. I work for hours in the morning before everybody else works. Okay. So that's actually time because during the day you have a minute, you have a minute. How that works, you know, how many minutes do you have? I don't have enough time.
Well, we all have the same time period in the day.
Yeah.
Some people make billions of dollars with the same amount of time. So I don't think it has to do with the time, right? Well, I want you to share actually a story with our audience about a time where you felt like giving up. I think we all get that place as an entrepreneur. Very few entrepreneurs, I've never met any, can say, I never felt like giving up. I just always went, you know, there's a season where you're just like, things are not working. This is a dark, painful season of adversity. And sometimes maybe it's not the word quitting or giving up, but you just feel like it maybe. Like, you know you're not going to, but you feel like it.
Yeah.
Share a story when you felt like that.
Not that long ago, maybe in March, you know, I'm doing this, you know, I'm starting in January 6th, right?
Yeah.
And then you go and you're motivated and this and this, and then all of a sudden, like, this doesn't happen or the other thing doesn't happen. All of a sudden, you have that thing, ooh. And interesting enough, my own people then started motivating me, right? Because I said, oh, maybe that doesn't work, right? I said, no, you're doing great. Go ahead, George, and stuff. So you go through dark periods, absolutely. Right.
Okay.
Actually, I haven't had that for a while, you know. But I'm always ready for that, right? You got to be ready for rejection, and it's the question how you take it, right? So my mind is already that you will get rejected. You will have some negative, you know, things happening to you. Might it be financially or some really scary stuff? So
yeah. I love that about you, is you keep saying, I'm ready for it. Yeah. I'm ready for the uncertainty. I'm ready for the change. I'm ready for the pain, the fear, the failure that can come, because that's the one thing that's guaranteed as an entrepreneur. You know, we've been talking about how you've been able to reframe your mindset about what failure and fear means to you.
Yeah.
That's one thing that every entrepreneur who sits in this room has in common. The other is they all have a sense of urgency, a feeling of hunger, like it needs to happen now. The impact I'm going to have in the world with my product or service or idea needs to happen now. The money that I'm going to generate in proportion to the value I add into the world needs to happen now. Failure, fear, none of that's going to hold me back. You obviously have that. But what keeps it going? Because I think that's what happens, is our fire inside of us dwindles down. But it's the successful ones that know how to keep putting logs on the fire to keep it going. How do you do it?
It's a personal trait. You know, what you said rings a bell with me, right? I get up and I got to do the next. I drive people crazy with it. I said, what about this? What about that? Right? It's not like, oh, Thanksgiving is coming. I'm slowing down, right? I work this morning before that. I work after that. And I've always something going on in my head, right? So it's a scary thing.
That's what's funny is people go, oh, it's the holiday season. Things slow down.
Not at all.
No, if anything, they pick up.
Not at all.
Everyone else is just slowing down, that's when we speed things up.
You gotta follow up. You know, things sometimes they fall apart, I pick them up again by being extra friendly.
Yeah. That's a big one right there, being friendly.
Just being friendly all the time.
We'll have to pick that up in our next segment. We'll be right back with George Richter to talk more about his business, Ocean X. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. And you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Our nation was founded by hardworking people who embraced the responsibility of raising their children and taking care of their families. People like my father. This is Reverend Derek McCoy, Executive Vice President at the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, also known as CURE. Dad grew up in poverty in the Deep South, one of four children, just a generation removed from a good education to get a best opportunity of your dreams, head, and increase opportunity. If we increase and choices for our children and educating for our parents, we can complete their kids. We the trajectory changed life. This is Reverend of a Child's Life, McCoy, Executive Derek McCoy for the Center Executive Vice President and Education for Urban Renewal. Known.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need SpotOnWebsite.com. At SpotOnWebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. SpotOnWebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at SpotOnWebsite.com.
Napa Know-How.
For something that has anti in its name, Prestone Antifreeze and Coolant, now just $11.99 at Napa, sure is pro a lot of things. It's pro keeping your car from overheating, pro maintaining your engine from wear and tear, and pro saving you cash. Prestone Antifreeze and Coolant, just $11.99. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 8/31/17.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Black. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. George Richter's in the house right now. He's the CEO and founder of Ocean X. Recap first about your company.
Okay, I run the company Ocean X. It's a technology platform company focused on physical subscription. I call it the new membership economy, like you call it Dollar Shave Club,
Birchbox,
all these
like
books,
that.
Loot Creators in town. There's a lot of books, about 3,000 companies. My company is focused only on this, only on that segment. I've done that. I have a lot of experience in this. We help entrepreneurs start these kind of companies, or if they have an established company, to sell more, collect more, ship better, you know, lots of smart stuff behind it.
I love it. And you're a smart guy because you're capitalizing on
a trend. Absolutely.
Exactly. Because that's how business is. Yes. With one of the key factors of success, timing, meaning a trend, you capitalize on the trend and the timing, can be massively successful and have exponential hockey stick growth. You're doing that.
Ocean X,
exactly. My question is, how are you differentiating yourselves? Because there's, and you probably disagree, but there's probably nothing proprietary that you're doing that somebody else can't do in some way, shape, or form. Like if we were on Shark Tank and you were pitching them, they'd be like, well, what's different? Why don't I just start the same thing? What would you say?
It will take you quite some time and some money because it took me 5 years to build it.
Okay.
And nobody has had the energy to build it. So I really have a head start. I like every entrepreneur thinks that what my company is unique, my company is better than others.
Yeah, my baby's unique, right?
Yeah, I know the feeling. When you're a parent, you'll see that. That irrationally comes in, but objectively, I run a large shop and we have invested lots of money. So I really had a head start. Mm. And I wasn't that smart, actually. I got a lot of tailwind. All of a sudden, there's enormous opportunity here, and I have something to sell. So time is really good for me. You got to be lucky too as an entrepreneur.
You've got to be lucky, but I don't like to use luck as an excuse because I think so many people out there, I think that if you're already successful, you can say some luck played a role in it. But I don't like when unsuccessful people look at successful people and say they were lucky.
I have an opinion on that because I work with some really successful people and other people would say that
they're lucky.
It's really not
true. They became a billionaire because they're lucky.
Yes. It's not true, okay?
You win the lotto because you're lucky.
Yeah, so I really believe, you know, becoming really rich has to do, you have to have a lot of, you play a lot of cards, and you work hard on many things. You cannot really guarantee something comes through, but you got to do lots of things, and you have the passion for lots of things. So I don't think it's luck at all.
I don't think it's luck
at all.
But
it's timing. The timing has a lot
has a lot to do with it, and based on that context of I invested at the company at the right time, or I came out with the product with the demand at the right time, sure, in some context of rationale, you could say that there was luck involved. I'll give you that. As one of my mentors said, the harder and smarter I work, the luckier I get. And I think that's what it boils down to, right? So let me hear from you. What do you feel like has been one of the ways you've been able to get your first clients? Because you've been in business 6 months, you've already secured in some way, shape, or form, you're doing business and operating with like $1 billion, some ridiculous number like that. You've done something that's worked well. I know you spend a lot of time pre-framing to get to where you are. How did you get your first client? What did that look like?
It's really word of mouth, right? We have no advertising. I'm the only salesperson. And
Must be a good one then.
Actually, it's very interesting. I did not know, right? I mean, a year ago, I thought, you know, how this, it's totally different than what I thought, you know, what the outcome is. But it's a lot of scheduling and meeting, networking like crazy. Network is another topic we should talk about.
Well, let's do that then, because so many people are, like me, you'll never believe it, but if you knew me back in the day, are introverted.
Me too. I've heard that too. So the thing is, nobody likes to network. Okay. Yeah. I had a situation where I had to network. I said, "Oh, how do I do this? Why does anybody want to work to me or even talk to me about?" Now I'm really a good networker right now. Yeah. You know, it's very simple. You're friendly. You if somebody hits me up to network with me, I help almost everybody. Mm. It's very simple. And then if you help somebody, it comes back to you. People actually generally like to be helpful.
There's the laws of the universe, law of reciprocity, law of attraction.
I believe that.
Networking is law of reciprocity.
I didn't know. Maybe self-confidence or whatever. I did not understand that. Start with a smile, hit somebody up, and say something nice to them. And don't tell them your story. Listen to their story.
That was the one I was looking for there.
Which is a little tough since you interviewed me.
Well, in this case, that's the whole purpose is for me to talk more about you.
Yes.
But in the situation of networking, it's the same thing. It's like the old cliche, you know, people are tuned into WIFM, you know, what's in it for me? Talk more about them. Think of the old 80-20, 90-10 rule. Ask questions so that they're talking 80, 90% of the time about themselves. Then at the end of the day, they feel like, you know, just like if you're on a date, you ask questions about the girl, she barely asks anything or learns anything about you, and she thinks that it was the best date ever. And all you do is spend the whole time talking about her.
I had to learn a lot.
It's the same thing in networking, right?
Yes.
Confidence, though. Yeah. I want to go back to that.
Okay.
What are some things people can do to be more confident? To develop a self-belief? Because limiting beliefs, self-doubts, feelings of unworthiness, on and on and on and on, and synonyms for the same thing, that's what holds most people back.
Yeah.
Especially in networking, especially when selling, especially when building your own business.
Yeah.
Self-doubts, limiting beliefs, feelings of unworthiness. How can somebody take action or develop the belief or say a saying or a mantra to reinforce confidence in themselves?
If you want to start sailing, you got to sail a lot. It's the same thing. If you wanna get better at this, you got to have exposure. You go to networking events. You know, you go in the evening. You really don't want to go there. You go there. You say, hey, how are you doing? Give them a card. You hear somebody. You go somewhere else. You get introduced. It's you get better at it.
Okay. So there's really no secret.
No.
It's put in the
cadence.
Put in the reps.
Yes.
Do the training and practice.
Yes.
CEO and founder of OceanX, George Richter, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Sales and marketing, that's what we're talking about a lot.
Yes.
I want to know, what has been one of the best ways that you've gone out and acquired customers? You said you're the main guy doing it. You're
yes.
the top sales guy in your business. My question is it social media? Is it cold phone calls? Is it introductions? Is it emails? What are you doing? What's working?
Okay. Number one thing is I'm not selling. Okay. The thing is I'm really educating people.
Mm.
I'm really helpful and try people to explain what I do and how I could be helpful. And that ultimately turns into a sale or not.
Mm.
Right? I have something to offer. But I think the times are over. If you say, okay, this is my specs. By the way, that's what I think most companies fail because they talk about their specs. That's what my products. But they never think about the other side. They never think about the consumer or in a B2B situation on the other side. Why do they actually need that? So my whole thing is always thinking, why does the person need that? I study their own thing and talk about them and their situation instead of talking about my own specs that I'm so great that I have a solution.
I love that you brought that up. That's a mistake that so many companies make is we've all been taught, you know, sell the benefits, not the features. But at the same time, if you haven't taken the time to get to know me and understand me, because everyone thinks they're unique, everyone thinks their business is unique.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you haven't taken the time to do that, then I don't care about the benefits. And so I love that you brought that up. Reminds me of the old saying, prescription before diagnostic is malpractice.
Correct.
Your diagnosis.
I want to throw something in here. My observation was packaged good companies, large companies, manufacturers, it seems they always think about their product. It's all they do, specs about the product.
Yeah.
But they have no idea who the end consumer is. They think that's Walmart's or Walgreens' problem. Okay,
yeah.
But today in this community where it's about selling direct, it's about understanding who the customer is, creating that relationship, creating the database, and then working directly with the end consumer. Because if you don't do that, Amazon does it.
Exactly.
Right? And then you're gone.
How do you feel like you're creating the value proposition for these companies? Because that's really, at the end of the day, why a consumer buys a product, why a company does business with you. It's because of the value proposition.
Correct.
They feel in some way, shape, or form there's not a value proposition that they want out there that you're delivering in a unique way, so they choose to give you their money over the other options.
Yes.
How do you or how can a business develop a unique value proposition that makes them stand out from everybody else so they can earn the business?
I mean, it has to be true. The world is so transparent and so provable that you can, you know, the old salesman that you make some story, it's just not true. You can't make up anything. It has to be true.
So
right?
Transparency.
Transparency. Mm. Actually, I'm very much into digital transparency. I show clients, you know, actually what's happening right now. You know, entrepreneurs want to know what happens about their business right now. It's kind of very important. So truth in advertising is everything, and then truth in delivery, and you know, the proof is always in the pudding.
I love
it's not
that.
About talking about it, it's just really really making it happen.
And I agree. Well, nowadays we do live in, I think, the most transparent, authentic space we've ever lived in, with social media nowadays and all the review websites like Yelp and Rip Off Report, and anyone with access to the internet can say anything nowadays. So transparency and just being truthful about your product, your benefits, and things like that. I love it. My question is, somebody with your experience and wisdom, not just as an entrepreneur, but in business, for the decades you've put in, I want to condense that down into one aha moment. What would you say, and it doesn't have to be like the aha moment, but what's been a giant like aha moment for you? Could have been when you lost a lot of money, had a partnership that fell through.
No, it's the insight that the people I'm talking to really never think about the consumer. That's my big aha. They don't understand who their consumer is. You know, again, you can talk to most CEOs, manufacturers, you know, they don't think about the consumer. They think about their product and the specs. Mm. I have this discussion almost every day. They think, okay, we have this. Just when we talk about selling services, they think about their product. Okay, and my aha is, no, you got to think about who wants it. How is that person? What is the emotion for that person to actually want that product. And this is actually what that business is all about, that you receive a package and it gives you a spark in the heart, right? So so you open the box and there's something interesting in it. It is simply a replenishment box is boring, right? But it has to be something interesting. There has to be anticipation in that. There has to be a surprise. There might be exclusivity. There might be a curation from somebody. You're looking up to somebody and say, you should buy that thing. That's the new business. That's the new membership economy, totally transparent. And that's what my company supports.
Just even, hearing you talk about it makes me want to get into the subscription model. As we wrap up, you're the expert on the space. My question for you is, how does somebody know if they should get into the subscription space?
Okay, then I have to pitch something, right?
So, well, let's hear a little commercial plug.
I have, on my website, OceanX, right? There is something we just opened an incubator program. I actually help young entrepreneurs that are passionate about their product and they need help with lots of things. I give them space, I might give them money, but I give them all the tools to be successful to create an unfair advantage over others.
I love it. And that's it right there. Somebody wants to find more about you on social media or your website. What is it?
OceanX.com.
OceanX.com. There it is. George, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at BusinessRockstars.com.
Laughter relaxes your audience. This is Oren Claff with Pitch Anything, showing you how to close like the pros. Laughter relaxes your audience. People laugh at three basic themes in life. First, at others making bad decisions and mistakes, especially when it's a person of authority. The second reason people laugh is to release emotion or high tension. But the easiest thing to laugh at, and about the only kind of joke that works in business and professional situations, is the element of surprise. One way professionals create surprise and lighten up a meeting is they put an extraordinary person in a normal situation. The point is, this tax stuff is time consuming and boring to most people. But I'm one person, a regular accounting sales guy, that loves seeing accounting done right. Let's complete the order and get you guys on to something a little more exciting. Laughter relaxes your audience. This is Everything Entrepreneur. I'm Oren Claff with Pitch Anything.
Message and data rates may apply.
What I'm going to tell you in the next 60 seconds could change your life. A college degree is more than a piece of paper or entry on your resume. A degree is an all-access pass to your future and a daily reminder of what you can accomplish. If you're thinking about going back to school but can't disrupt your life, consider Arizona State University. ASU Online offers the same high-quality education, world-renowned faculty, dedicated student support, and exceptional learning resources, all 100% online. You'll earn the same respected ASU degree as on-campus students and access a global network of over 400,000 alumni. Learn why ASU is ranked top 5 nationally for producing the best qualified graduates. Text DISCOVER to 37913. ASU Online offers over 150 degrees online, from education to healthcare, engineering, and more. Learn more about ASU Online. Text DISCOVER to 37913. That's DISCOVER to 37913.
Teenagers and sleep. It's a nightmare for many parents. But can getting your kids off to school later translate to improved grades? I'm Dr. Borenstein, and this is Dr. B on Call. Your teenager's brain runs on a different clock. While adults require anywhere from 6.5 hours of sleep a night, a developing adolescent's brain needs 8.5 to 9.5 hours of sleep each night. Teens not only have a longer sleep requirement than we do as adults, but according to Dr. Helene Emsalem, director of the Center for Sleep and Wake Disorders,
with puberty and the evolution of adulthood, they experience a gradual and progressive shift in the actual timing of the sleep period to a later start time and wake-up time.
Studies corroborate that, indeed, allowing teens to sleep later can result in stronger test scores. But more importantly, it can translate into a less grumpier teenager around the house.
Attention Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a
loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And this is our CEO Roundtable. So as always, joining us is two rockstar CEOs. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Siobhan Moran. My company's Energetic Solutions, and I help CEOs, entrepreneurs, and I call them wantrepreneurs almost there, take their idea from a little idea and maybe no money or a little money all the way up to either exit or super profitable. Now, there's one little unique pitch in there, in that I take all of their learnings from their inner growth work. Some say spirituality, and I blend that with business. So what happens is when those two get integrated, the business really, really soars. And we see this with CEOs everywhere now.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for coming on the show.
My name is Natalie Dell, and I'm the CEO and founder of IndieU. We connect independent unsigned musicians to colleges and college students across the nation to help them grow a strong localized fan base.
Wonderful. And we just had a blast interviewing each other. So I told you guys right before the cameras got on, the thing that I wanted to talk about, so hopefully your brain has been primed, is something that you wish you knew when you got started. So if you could go back and have coffee or tea with your younger self on your first year of entrepreneurship, what is one, you could share two if you want, but what is that one big piece of advice you wish you could go back and share with yourself, or that you would go back and share with yourself?
Mine's probably just all the ups and downs that you go through as an entrepreneur. You know, I kind of thought it was going to be easy sailing, and I was going to create a company, and then in 1 year it was going to be profitable, and I was going to be, you know, the next Elon Musk type thing. But it's a lot longer of a process than that. It's you know, failing and then succeeding, and then yeses and then nos, and then happy and then sad. So I think just that process is a lot to kind of learn and go through. But I also think, even if I told myself that, looking back, it's until you go through it, you don't know how to deal with it.
I agree. You know? You definitely, even with that type of advice, yeah, reading out of a book or hearing it, you have to experience it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So true. You know, I think for me it would really, and I've been reflecting on this a lot lately, it would really be take the things I learned as a writer and really dive into the essence of who the customer is and what's in their heart and what do they want to get next, and be a much, much more refined, persuasive with authenticity and heart and integrity writer, so somebody can really see themselves in that next step.
That's fantastic advice. Advice I wish I could have in the beginning of my early stages. I want to talk about habits and rituals real fast, because something that I've noticed a lot interviewing lots of people and just reading a lot and studying successful people, because I'm like always trying to collect what other people's things are that make them successful, make them happy, make them fulfilled, and give them that edge in life and in business. And I've noticed that it really boils down to people's habits and rituals. So I want to know from your perspective, either something personally or professionally that's helped you either feel better, think more positively, make better connections, make more money, be more productive,
overcome procrastination, mm-hmm. be more organized. What is a habit or a ritual that you'd like to share with us that you feel like has given you an edge?
For me, it's been, you know, the overarching one is meditation. And not just meditation like this meditation, but meditation on the solution. Because what I was doing is I was meditating on the problem. What was going wrong? What was going wrong? And when you focus your attention in one area like that, what occurs is it just keeps going wrong, and then it gets bigger, and then it explodes, and then you got to restart. So it's really meditation and meditating on the solution. But even under that, it's really like learning true breath, because generally we're like
short and shallow. Right?
You know, we're like scraping for breath, and really it's just. And as mundane as that sounds, that's my go-to.
Conscious breaths. I feel like a lot of people just, I mean, it sounds weird, but you're just breathing throughout the day. You're not consciously being aware of taking some deep, full breaths.
Definitely.
And when you take the time to just even take one or two deep, full breaths, you actually do notice a massive difference.
I have a few things. I also meditate, yoga, and then I do a lot of working out, too. So in the mornings, I make sure I do kickboxing.
Do it before you came here?
No, I didn't do it this morning.
I was supposed to
go to yoga this morning, but I was like, I had to get my hair done. You know what I mean? No, but I also this is funny about me. I always have to go to the coffee shop in the morning, and then I go to the office. For some reason, I can't stay at the office the entire day because being in the same spot kind of messes with me. So I like to be able to go to different places.
So when did you get the coffee shop thing? Because I really just started refining that ritual into like, I got to have my tea before I speak.
Oh my God, I need my vanilla latte. Vanilla latte with almond milk every morning. I don't know why. Right when I graduated from college and I came home, I didn't actually have an office space to go to. So I would just go to the coffee shop the entire day, every single day, because there's no way I was working from my house. And then I also Trello. It's something I use.
Trello.
Oh my God, I'm addicted. I'm a Trello master. The amount of boards I have is nauseating. But basically, every day I have the exact tasks that I need to focus on, and before I go to sleep, I already have the tasks to focus on for the next day to keep me going and focus on what
Trello
to do.
Trello is the best thing
really
we ever.
Well, you guys are gonna have to share what Trello is in just a second. This is the CEO Roundtable segment. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Just to give you a quick recap of who's joining us, tell us shortly who are you and what do you do?
Siobhan Moran, Energetic Solutions and Aligning Business and Energetic Principles.
Wonderful.
Natalie Dell, independent music platform, and we connect unsigned musicians to college students.
What are some best practices you guys have? I think we've kind of touched on some of them, but is there something that we haven't talked about yet? Maybe when it comes to hiring people, keeping people aligned on the goals and the vision for the week, the month, the quarter, the year, whatever it may be. What are some best practices that you guys have? Mm. We talked about some of the habits and rituals, but for me, it's getting out and focusing on partnerships. For me, that's one of my best practices. I've realized that I feel better, I feel less stressed when I literally spend, half of my week managing or creating new partnerships. Mm-hmm. That's one of my best practices.
Yeah, I have a lot, but one of them is to make sure I have all these little hacks because I don't want people to be dependent upon me. I want them to be independent. Mm-hmm. And so we have a group call called the Daily 15. And we talk about what's good in our lives, what's awesome, and how we're going to rock the world, and if we're stuck. So there are four things, and everybody has. We only have 15 minutes as a team to get it all out. Every day, 15. And that really changed everything, because then my head stopped going, well, who am I talking to? Where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? What partnerships am I involved in?
That's great.
Guys, I wish we had more time. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. They're free, unbiased.
Biz Talk Radio,